Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to Miracle Internet Church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just want to thank the Lord for his goodness, and we want to thank him for his patience with his people, his mercy toward all of us. And we want to thank the Lord that he always stands in agreement with us when we stand on his word. Amen. And a special welcome to all of our first-time listeners. We are a Christian Internet ministry, and we meet on the Internet every Wednesday and every Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America, and on Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time as Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sundays. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're so happy that you found the time to join us because the Lord is seriously working with his people. Amen. He's bringing us to the place where no weapon formed against us shall even appear, much less prosper. Amen. So we want to thank the Lord for his goodness, and we want to thank him for leading us in this way. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, saints, as we continue, I want to remind you that we're going to have on Sunday evening, we're going to begin a fast, an emergency fast. We're going to begin at 7 p.m. in whatever time zone you are in, and it will proceed through Monday at midnight. So that means Tuesday at 12:01 a.m., the fast will be over. Amen? The fast, I'll say, goes again from this Sunday night. This Sunday night would be April 11th. It begins at 7 p.m., whatever time zone you are in, and it is continuous through midnight, April 12th. Amen? Praise the Lord. And you say, well, how are we fasting? Well, this is a very simple fast. The only beverage that is allowed is water, and we will only be eating fruits and vegetables. That's all. It's a very brief fast, but a very powerful one. The only beverage will be water, and the only foods will be fruits and vegetables. Amen? Praise the Lord. And if you have any other questions, do seek the face of the Lord of the fast. Amen? Thank him for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I know that some of you are aware of this and some of you are not yet aware, but now it's out there for everyone. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for everyone that came up to hear the word of the Lord tonight. We want to thank you, Lord, for all of those who work in the background, doing the things that are necessary to bring the broadcast to fruition. We want to thank everyone who prays and fasts and stands for this ministry in Jesus' name. But most of all, Father, we want to thank you that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the remission of our sins, that we might become partakers of eternal life. We want to thank you, Lord, for the merits of that blood that was shed on our behalf. On behalf of your people, on behalf of the body of Christ, on behalf of the church of the true and living Jesus Christ, we want to thank you, Lord, and we want to thank you for your wall of fire from Zechariah 2 and 5 surrounding each of us in our locale, surrounding us wherever we are, because the Bible says that when two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in our midst. So we thank you for the wall of fire that surrounds us with your glory in the midst. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the unction and the witness to go forth with the fast in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the prayers that will go forth early Monday morning in Jesus' name. We want to thank you for showing us how you wish for us to do it, Lord. We give you praise. We ask that you release your grace, grace and more grace, Father, for all who are fasting and all who are standing with us and all who will be praying with us on Monday morning in Jesus' name. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We bind Satan and all of his work, pushing against the saints of God. We thank you, Lord, that you are our shield, you are our buckler, you are our armor, and you stand before us, and no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. And every tongue that has risen against any of us in judgment, we condemn it now. This is a part of our heritage as the saints of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that although the enemy would try to push us back, Lord, we are victorious through Jesus Christ. Lord, we plead our cause with them that plead our cause with them that strive against us and fight against them that fight against us. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for our help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute us, that saying and say unto our souls that you are our salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after our souls. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise our hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for us their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for our souls. Let destruction come upon them at unawares, and let their net that they hath hid catch themselves. Into that very destruction let them fall. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord, because they rewarded us evil for good, attempting to spoil our souls. We thank you, Lord, even though as false witnesses they have risen up and they've laid charges of things we know not. But, Lord, we thank you that you are the one who leads us to victory. You're Lord Sabaoth, you're the Lord of hosts, and you lead your army to victory because victory belongs to Jesus Christ. You, Lord, are Lord over all, and that means all. So we thank you, Lord, for your power being released. We thank you for grace. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to war and teaching our fingers to war and our hands to fight. And we thank you, Lord, that there's no weapon that the enemy can send against us that will prosper. Every enemy will fall and go into derision, just as Naaman learned when he thought he was proud. Just as Haman found out, just as many characters in the Bible, persons that actually lived, that came against the body of Christ, just as Ahab and Jezebel found out, we thank you, Lord, that everyone will learn that you alone are Lord. Repeatedly in the scripture, Father, you said that they might know that I am the Lord. Well, this crew needs to learn that you are the Lord. And they have not learned that, Lord. They have no reverence, no fear for you. And they persecute your people mercilessly. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up for your people. Stand up for your church. Stand up for your body. And we ask you, Lord, to return what they have sent against us to them, for sowing and reaping continues. And we thank you and we give you praise for that, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You are our strong tower. The righteous run into you, Lord, and we are safe. We thank you, Lord, that you hear us speedily and that you deliver us from our enemies. So we flee to you for you to hide us, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, and we thank you for the grace that comes from walking in covenant relationship with you, Lord. And, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his evil angels, all evil spirits, all demonic agents, all of his underlings, and we cancel every demonic assignment and satanic agendas against the righteous in the name of Jesus Christ. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We take any territory held by any strong man of Satan in Jesus' name. And we bind those strong men in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with every demonic agent in Jesus' name. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. especially in the deep, in Jesus' name. We seal everyone. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, seeing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks unto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, all reporting, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar demons, all technology demons and their attacks, all technology demons and their attacks, including the attacks sent by humans using technology in Jesus' name. We bind all Leviathan spirits and their attacks, all Kundalini spirits and their attacks, all water and marine spirits and their attacks, all sex devils and their attacks, all unclean spirits and their attacks, all passive devils, sorcery devils, seducing, womanizing, drone, whoredom spirits and their attacks, all the voices of the stranger and their attacks, and every hypnotic and trance devil and all their attacks, all mystic rituals and their intents, and we overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts, Egyptian magic, Chaldean magic, Hindu magic, African voodoo, in Jesus' name. We bind all Morgellons attacks and return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, and we close every portal coming through the computers, through the phones, and through every electronic or technological device in Jesus' name. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind hyperactivity, racing mind, inattention, impulsivity in Jesus' name. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog. We bind the lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all satanic ritual abuse demons in Jesus' name. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order and the New Age movement, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirit and the children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind it all in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, and the king of pride. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, and soulish sacrifices. We bind every demonic ritual known to humans or known to spirits in Jesus' name. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptation to sin. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Mammon, Apollyon, Zeus, Baphomet, his 72, and all of his underlings, Neptune, Python, Basilic, and Moloch, and we chain them with eternal chains unto darkness in Jesus' name. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, and return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassments, and witchcraft back on their own heads, as well as their mind control in Jesus' name, according to 2 Thessalonians 1:6. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Lord, we have come to loose the bands of wickedness and to undo heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke and chain, call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth and lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we have come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for kings and all in authority and all true Christians. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We cover ourselves and our property with the blood of Jesus, and we take authority over the demons of the night, bad dreams, nightmares, sex dreams, anyone or anything trying to get into our dreams. And we bind whatever they have already done. We command it to leave us now and go back where it came from, according to the covenant in Jesus' name. We command them to stay away in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask for giant warring angels to protect us and our property as we sleep through the night and the day. We ask for the fiery wall to be around us. We release Psalm 91 over all the true Christians in Jesus' name. And from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we break the power of any spirit that may have traveled and followed us from wherever we have gone, even if it was just outside to the curb, in Jesus' name. We bind those devils. We send them into the cage, and we send them immediately to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We give you praise, Lord. We take authority, dominion, and power over the work of every witch, warlock, sorcerer, wizard, diviner, shaman, or pagan in the name of Jesus Christ. And we break the power of all curses, hexes, vexes, spells, charms, fetishes, all psychic warfare, witchcraft, sorcery, magic, voodoo, mind control, jinxes, potions, death, bewitchments, destruction, incense and candle burning, incantations, ungodly blessings, chantings, root works, crystals, and hoodoo in Jesus' name. We bind all types, order, rank of witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind tribal rituals and sins in the name of Jesus. And we return them from whence they came in Jesus' name. We bind spirits of bondage, heaviness, fear, and hate, and we forgive everyone who has sinned against us in any way in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind spirits of hate, bitterness, and murder, envy, and jealousy, all spirits of wizardry and sorcery, and all the demons that work with them, and we destroy your influence in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the grace of God. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that has come to listen tonight and to partake of your word and to receive of your holiness and grace. We thank you for your truth pouring forth. We thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, but you stand in battle with us and you lead us into war. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory and we give you honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to tell you that our featured psalm for tonight is Psalm 35. Our featured psalm for tonight is Psalm 35. And our featured ebook is Amazing Secret. Our featured ebook is Amazing Secret. And if our brother will put that link on the chat, I'd appreciate it. Amazing Secrets. And our verse for meditation comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 21, verses 8 through 13. Psalm 21, verses 8 through 13. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, saints, as we're pressing into this season, I want to remind you that there's some important things about warfare that you have to remember. And one of them is that when you leave a place, you need to disconnect from the spirits in that place. When you leave a place, wherever that place may be it work, be it the post office, be the bank, be someone else's home, you need to disconnect yourself from all those spirits that may have followed you. You need to bind them and put them in a cage in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I don't want you to forget that. It's very important because sometimes spirits ride and take a ride, so to speak, and they follow us home, and then they come in our homes and they cause problems. So especially if you have a member of your family that is not born again, is not saved, is not living for Jesus, you must continually bind the devils that follow them as well in the name of Jesus and put them into a cage too and forbid them to enter your home in Jesus' name. So you need to remember these things. If you go to pick up a family member from work and you know they're not born again, you know they've been cavorting with spirits that are not of God. And by the way, their spirits have been talking to all the demons and all the other people at work all day long. And that's how that works. So you have to continually disconnect and disconnect and disconnect and disconnect. And so some of you may not have known these things, but you get to hear them tonight. So you need to continually disconnect. You need to continually bind and cage demons in Jesus' name. And you say, well, this is a lot of work. Yeah, but this is how you stay free. This is how you stay free and have fewer problems. So remember that. Remember every day, no matter where you are, when you come from around people or animals or both or wherever you've been, this is one of the reasons we bind free-flying devils. You see, they want to attach to something and have the opportunity to come inside. Well, if they can't get inside, they're going to try to just follow until they can. So we suggest that you disconnect from the spirits wherever you were. I went to a restaurant not too long ago, and all I did was go inside to the counter, the reception desk, and order my meal and go back outside, sit in my car, and come back and pick it up. And I forgot to do that one thing. And then I got home and went to sleep. I said, Lord, what is that? He said, you forgot. So I got right busy. I got right busy with that and took care of that situation immediately because, you know, sometimes you can be tired, and your mind isn't on that. Your mind is on to get home. Well, that's what happened that night. So it refreshed my memory immediately. And so even those of us that do it routinely, you might slip up, but get very consistent with it. Make it a discipline in your life that wherever you go, whomever you've been around, if there have been people on your property that have worked for you, and you know they're not of God, some of them, you make sure you run those devils off and you disconnect yourself and those that you love and live with from those devils in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, and we want to thank the Lord for his word. Well, tonight we're going to talk about keep thy tongue. Keep thy tongue, yes, keep thy tongue. It's important that we remember to do that because the enemy is listening just as the Lord and the angels are listening. So let me ask you this. Have you ever been told that you talk too much? Has anyone ever said to you, you know, you really do talk too much? If they did, it was probably someone very close to you. That you have a way, that you have way too much to say sometimes. You know, children are that way. You know, the Bible talks about not answering again, not talking back. And whenever they don't like something, or they've been given instructions to do something and they don't care for it, sometimes they mumble under their breath, and sometimes nowadays they just come right out and say whatever they want to say. Well, you know, that's a sin. The Bible says not answering again. Amen? And so we want to thank the Lord that he speaks to that and tells us we're not supposed to do that. We don't partake of that. We don't do that. That's not the behavior of Christians. And sometimes, even as adults, we do that. That's not of the Lord. You know, you get all upset. It's in Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Titus chapter 2, verse 9. It says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Well, it applies to adults and it applies to teens and it applies to children. Not answering again. Not talking back. It's disrespectful to whomever is in authority. God placed that person with authority. And therefore, you're being disrespectful to the Lord because he established human government and authority. Amen? Amen. So we're going to mind our mouth and our manners. Well, has anyone ever said that you need to put a sock in it? In other words, you just need to stop talking. You know, there are times, saints, when we're in conversations and there may be something that should not be spoken. And somebody will be genteel enough to try to turn the conversation so that you don't keep babbling and just blurt out something you should not say. And usually the person that's about to do it has no idea that that person's trying to get their attention and prevent them from literally putting their foot in their mouth. It has happened. But, you know, if you're a little more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he'll check you before you do that because leather doesn't taste too good, so I've heard. So, has anyone ever said to you that your mouth runs like a faucet? Well, that means it just goes on and on and on and does not stop. That's not good. That's why there's a handle on the faucet. Turn it off. There should be some place to turn it off. If not, perhaps your acquaintances were too polite to mention this, but certainly they thought about it. And sometimes we've been at social gatherings, and the Lord says he kind of checks you. You can feel like you're getting into an area you need to get out of, but your mouth is moving, and you haven't yet developed that habit of clearing your throat so you can change what you were going to say before you say something that the Lord really doesn't want you to. You know, there are times when people are the conversation is becoming heated. It's not an argument at that point. It's just becoming heated. That's a good time to stop talking before the heat gets too hot. You see, because in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. We'll get to that scripture in a moment, you see. So we need to be very careful, especially during seasons of intense spiritual warfare, that we watch what comes out of our mouths. The devil will pick up words and he will manifest them if you allow it. So there are people who have what is referred to as the gift of gab, G-A-B, gab. That means that they talk idly or they chatter on and on and on and on. You get the idea. There are others who have constructive subjects to discuss, but they need a monitor. That's right. They need a monitor. They may have something intelligent, something knowledgeable, something educational to share, but they need a monitor. Amen? Some people express this trait in petty gossip. That means they talk about people, and they feel free to do this, especially about people that they do not know and have never met and probably will never meet, but also about people with whom they have acquaintance. They just talk about anything and about anything. While there are others which expound on interesting topics, they talk about places and events and possibilities, you see. But the Bible says, in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, that in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. There is no lack of sin in a lot of words. Somewhere, sooner or later, you're going to trip up and say the wrong thing or say too much or not say enough. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. He that refraineth, that's right, he that stops his lips, he that has control over his lips is wise, the Bible says. And the Lord is right about that. There are times, I'm certain, each of us have wished that we had refrained a little more, but we didn't. And sometimes the conversation actually got out of hand and an argument ensued. But you know, saints, we can always do better than what we used to do. Amen? We can do better. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11, Proverbs 29 and verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind. He just says whatever comes to his mind. He doesn't care. He just feels like he can just blurt out anything. They're doing that on the newscast nowadays. I don't know how they got into that, but they are doing that. But a wise man keepeth it in till afterward. He doesn't just open his mouth and in front of everybody, no matter who's there, who's listening, who can hear, just blurt out whatever he wants to say. That's not polite, it's not wisdom, it's not good discipline, and it's not righteous either. You know, the Lord has taught us from Proverbs 18, 21, Proverbs 18 and 21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we should work toward the end that life is being released from our tongue. That's the power that ought to be out of our tongues, life. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, what do you mean by that? They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That means you're going to get whatever is produced by what you say. There's another scripture that says in the Bible that you have what you say. So if you go around telling someone that you're just going to go ahead and die, well, you just put, that's what you started. You shouldn't have done that. That's not wisdom. That's not the word of God. You see, those who love to talk will suffer the consequences. And people have died for saying the wrong thing. Amen? That's the truth. Those who love to talk on and on will suffer the consequences. That's right. There are consequences to what comes out of your mouth. And people have died for what they've said. Amen? Yes, they have. Have you ever shared company with someone that talked so much that you grew tired of listening to them? Well, that's serious. It has happened to me, and there have been times when I've had to try to keep my eyes open, the person talked so much, or someone that just completely dominated the conversation. There could have been 10 people, but one person is so dominating the conversation that no one ever bothers to make a comment or to say anything during the course of the conversation. It's almost as if it's a complete monologue, you know? So that's not wise either. Other people may have something to say. Other people may have something to contribute, and we should allow them to contribute if they desire to and are able to. Amen? Amen. Well, that may well be a social blunder, or it may be an evil spirit. It's not always just a social blunder. No, sometimes it's an evil spirit. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So either good things are coming forth out of your heart and out of your mouth, or evil things are coming out of your heart and out of your mouth. And either way, you are responsible for what comes out. In Matthew chapter 15, about a page over, Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. That's right. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. You see, the Lord is making it plain that the things that come out of the mouth, they are lodged in the heart. And it's those things that are unrighteous and ungodly that proceed out of the heart and through the mouth and out of the lips that defile men. They defile the speaker and all those who hear it. Out of the heart come evil thoughts. Out of the heart come murders, come adulteries, come fornication. Out of the heart, that's where fornication comes from. Out of the heart, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These things come out of the heart, you see. And the Lord is warning us to acknowledge that that's where all of this is coming from. Amen? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, the Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So it's not just a little bit in your heart that's bringing forth these things. It's an abundance. It's running over. It's overflow. It's gushing. If rebellion is in your heart, when an authority, a person speaks and says thus and so and thus and so, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to have too much to say about it. Some people have a poor response to authority. They rebel instead of submitting. They do not properly honor authority. They don't happen to like the person in charge. They're jealous of the person in charge. They're envious of the person in charge. They wish they were the person in charge. So whenever that person gives a command or gives a, or makes a request or just gives information, they have something going on in their minds and in their heart that is contrary. And eventually it comes out of the mouth. Eventually, it comes out of the mouth. The person can say something as simple as, please close the door. When you leave, please close the door. And then out of that mouth will come, well, I don't see why I need to close the door, and I don't see why you got to have the door closed anyway, because the rest of us leave our doors open. You see, you can tell when a person has not matured in that area, to the point that they recognize the importance of authority and the importance of proper submission to authority. Because ultimately, God is the one who releases authority to persons. And when you disrespect those that he has empowered with authority, you disrespect him. Amen? And that's the way that works. You know, there are people who have problems in their marriage relationship because in their home life where they grew up, they didn't learn to have proper respect for the other person, for their spouse. They just, whoever they grew up around just said any old thing and did any old thing. And so it's probably a generational problem. Amen. There are men who've never learned how to properly treat a woman, a girl, females, how to have proper respect, how to impart dignity and caring. And there are women who've never learned to properly respect the role of the man or the husband or the father or the brother or whomever. It's on both sides, you see. And so when we come to Christ, we come in with all of these poor learning areas where we were not properly developed as we grew up and matured. And we have to learn better. We have to learn to exchange the old for the new. We have to be transformed, as Romans 12 tells us. And we have to be renewed and transformed in our mind. How is that? Well, we allow the Lord and ourselves to search our hearts. Let's see what's in our heart. Let the Lord show us what's in our heart. How do we know? We'll hear it coming out of our mouth. That's how. That's how we know. Even when we're venting, you should pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. Because usually this is the time when you get yourself in the most trouble. Amen? At other times, you usually have your guard up a little more. But when you're just venting and just letting it all out, sometimes you shouldn't let that out. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because the Lord is listening. The demons are listening. The angels are listening. The Lord is listening. Some of our venting needs to not be vented. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you see, saints, words are vehicles for spirits to be released. Words are vehicles for spirits to be released. Our words and attitudes really do matter. Yes, they do. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'll give you a moment to get there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. Consent not to unwholesome words. Consent not to unwholesome words. Amen? Consent not to unwholesome words. Verse 4. Anyone who does not receive the words of the Lord Jesus Christ is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof committeth envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, who are destitute of the truth. So, you know, saints, that's what we ought to do. That's what we ought to do. You see, rebellion against the truth, inflated and puffed up in knowledge and self-importance, ignorance of the facts and the truth, over-questioning when the answer is plainly known, making unnecessary distinctions between things when the difference between them are minimal and unimportant, pitting one side against the other in strife, expressing a sour temper, which is fretful and hard to please, quibbling over the meaning of Jesus' words or some other situation, while proclaiming to play the devil's advocate, stirring up arguments that result in jealousy, envy, anger, name-calling, accusation, and wicked suspicions, with fruitless argument for the intent of rejecting truth. All of these things should not be found in our mouths or in our lives. Let's go over that list one more time. I don't want you to miss something. Let's see. We should not have rebellion against truth. We shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be inflated and puffed up in knowledge and self-importance. We shouldn't have flagrant ignorance of the facts and the truth and then go around acting like everyone else is wrong and we're right. That's not our way. That's not humility. Over-questioning when the answer is plainly known. You know, you've seen that before. Making unnecessary distinctions between things when the differences between them are very minimal, slight, and unimportant. You've seen people that just pick a fight. We're not supposed to be doing that. We're not supposed to be pitting one side against the other side in strife. Why? Because we're not going to dote about questions and strifes of words. Why? Because what comes out of that is envy, more strife, railings, evil surmisings, all kind of wickedness comes out of it. We're not going to be expressing a sour temper, a fretful, hard-to-please temper. We're not going to do it at the dinner table or anywhere else. When our meal is set before us, we're not going to have an ugly face and too much to say that's not pleasant. Why? Because we're thankful for our food. we're about to bow our heads and thank the Lord for our meal. Amen? Amen. So we're not going to have these little fitful attitudes. We're not going to quibble over, well, Jesus said this, didn't he? And you know it's out of context and wrong, the way it's being used. We're not going to do that and then proclaim that we're just being the devil's advocate. No, that's not what you're doing. You're being the devil's agent. That's what you're doing. We're not going to stir up arguments that result in jealousy and envy and anger and name-calling. We don't do that. We don't name-call. We don't do that. That's not Christ-like. That's not the love of God. We don't throw around accusations like we're throwing a pillow across the room to the bed. And we don't live in wicked suspicions of everybody and everything all the time. That's just not Christ-like. We don't dwell in fruitless arguments for the sole purpose of rejecting the truth. You're just going to argue because you don't want to accept what the truth really is, especially when it's being explained to you in a calm and effective way. These are never to be found in our mouths or anywhere in our lives. We are not the people that rally in the excess and manipulation of flattery. No, we give genuine compliments, but we do not use our mouths to just manipulate people and just flatter on and on, you know, truly meaningless flatteries for the sake of some other time you want to come back and butter the person up to get something. That's not the way we do. We don't flatter to impress or to delude. We don't want to pull the wool, so to speak, over anyone's eyes. And we need to beware of those who do this, because the point of the whole matter is to deceive you and for themselves to profit. The reason the salesman comes to flatter is because he's trying to butter you up to get your money. I mean, that's not hard to understand. That's what commercials are. That's why they're louder than everything else that may come on. That's why they do that. They want to get your attention. They want to tease you. They want to entice you. They want to seduce you. They want your money. As I heard once in a sermon, Cocoa Puffs wants your money. Amen? That's what that's for. Being disingenuous, that means not being straightforward or candid, not being sincere, deliberately evasive or tricky in deception in order to bypass truth. Now, you know, you were asked, did you do thus and so? And instead of being truthful and say, yes, I did it, no, you want to talk about something else. You go around the subject, around the matter, in such a manner that you don't directly answer the question. That's not Christ-like. Amen? By the way, whatever happened to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth by the Spirit of truth? Whatever happened to that? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, the Lord reminds us, Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Sometimes your words condemn you. They do. But after all, you contributed to it. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But Pastor, you don't understand. They got on my last nerve, irritated me. They annoyed me, and I got upset, and I just opened my mouth, and it just came out. Well, you see, corrupt means that these words are contaminated. They're spoiled. They cannot produce grace in the ears of the hearer. That's what that means. They're perverted, they're evil, they're depraved. And sometimes they're just in error. That's right. And so they can't feed, they can't nourish, they can't bless. And most of us, to tell you the truth, need to ask the Lord to use the blood to wipe out almost everything we've said in our lives, because we've said things that were just terrible. We've all done this from time to time at some point in our lives. If you were raised or overly exposed to people who use vernacular that is just not wholesome, that spirit attaches to you. If you have a soul tie with that person, that spirit attaches itself to you and may come in you, and you find yourself saying things that are not what you normally say, suddenly just blurt out. And then you wonder why you're saying that. Well, you probably have a connection that says those kinds of things. Amen? So it's the truth. You know, I read a thing, and most people have read this at some point, that children learn what they live. So if they're constantly hearing that kind of conversation and verbiage, they're going to learn it and pick it up and use it. Amen? So it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That means stop it before the procession comes all the way out. We're not supposed to allow it to proceed out of the mouth past the lips. But only that which is good to the use of edifying, educating, building up, strengthening, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That grace comes with those words, not corruption and defilement. Amen? Amen. In Psalms 12, beginning with verse 3, Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. My. Well, if the Lord's going to do that, how many Christians are going to lose their lips and their tongues? I can't answer that for you right now. It sure would be interesting to know. Amen. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Real proud there. Who is Lord over us? Well, Jesus Christ is Lord over all, and that includes our tongues, our lips, our mouths, and what comes out. Amen? That's right. The body is for the Lord, the Bible says. So we come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and he can say what we can say and what we cannot say. There are times I have a friend who has reminded me about this a few times. She said, you know, you have a habit of sometimes asking the Lord before you say something, Lord, can I say this? And she said, at first, I just thought you were being religious. She said, but after a while, I realized that you were. You were actually seeking the Lord at that moment to see if you had his permission to release what you wanted to say. See, if he's Lord, you have to check in before you let some things out of your mouth. Amen? I know nobody told you that before. Well, hallelujah, now you know. Amen? And when you know better, you can do better. Amen? Amen. So sometimes you need to pause and ask the Lord if you actually have his permission, because you don't want to just say something that will grieve the Holy Spirit. We have to be careful. We don't want to say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. So there are some tongues that dig for dirt to spew onto the reputations of others. You've heard about those kinds of people. They think they know something, but everybody doesn't know about someone else. Think it is their appointed commission in life to take whatever information they have that may not be favorable to all and just let it loose over whomever's ears are around to hear it. Well, now that's not love. That's hatred. And sometimes it comes straight from jealousy, envy, or maybe even bitterness. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil. That's right. An ungodly person digs up evil. Go back trying to find out every little thing that so-and-so did. And I remember when you weren't saved, you used to, and you know, they're famous for doing this if you're at a gathering, especially family gatherings, and now you're a Christian and now you're being changed. And hear that, well, I remember, they can't eat the chicken for opening their mouth to say that they remember way back when you did blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And the whole point is to persecute you, to diminish your testimony, and to cast aspersion on who you have become in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says in these lips, they are as a burning fire. And they are. They're harmful. They're destructive. They come to destroy. You see, they're not digging up the good things you did. You know, you were living then. Every single thing you did wasn't wrong. You did some good things. They're not trying to bring that to the forefront. No, they want to dig up what you used to do that you don't do anymore. Amen? And then if you still have a few slips left up, and by the way, you're still doing such and such and such and such, they want to rub your face into the ground. They want to say that what Jesus Christ has done in your life really isn't about anything. And all that going to church you do and reading the Bible, it doesn't amount to anything. That's what they're trying to say. Amen? And if you ask the Lord, he will give you an excellent response from that is in accord with the Scripture. Amen? Amen. God will teach you how to respond to that kind of abuse. Because that's exactly what it is. It is abuse. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 4, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 4, the Bible says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. That means they prefer to hang around somebody who doesn't have profitable things coming out of their mouth. And then they want to repeat in some manner, whether by word or by deed, what the false lips say. And a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Really? Yes. The Bible says it right on the page. It's a liar that sits there and gives ear to somebody's nasty mouth. So if you're not a liar, then why is your ear there? Your ear should not be an accomplice to a nasty or naughty tongue. We have to be careful what we hear and how we hear. You see, in verse 9, same chapter, Proverbs chapter 17, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends or close friends. You see, if somebody made a mistake or someone did something wrong, there's a way to handle it that's walking in love without pretending it didn't happen. You know, you don't have to act like you're blind, deaf, and dumb. You don't know anything. But you don't use it to stab or hurt. Amen. You excuse it. But if you're one that every time you get a chance, you're bringing it up and you're repeating it over and over and over and over, every time you do, you cause a breach and you widen a breach in your relationship with that person. Who wants to hear over and over something that they did that wasn't right? You don't, and neither does anyone else. So we have to learn to be thoughtful. We have to learn to be considerate. We have to learn to allow the law of kindness to be in our mouth. That's right. The law of kindness to be in our mouth, even when we are upset. And that's usually the hardest time. You see, love can forget mistakes. Love doesn't keep a list of every little thing that everybody does wrong. But nagging on and on separates the closest of partners and causes a breach in the relationship. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 14, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. So you have to be careful what your mouth is close to. What is your mouth doing? You see? For the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 18, beginning with verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes or blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer, a gossip, are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So you see, when you let out something that should not come out of your lips, it's like putting a dagger in someone's inner. It's like a dagger that goes in. It causes a lot of damage to the internal organ. You see? And many times, the damage has to be repaired in deliverance. Amen? The damage must be repaired by the Lord. And so, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Yeah. So you see, there is more hope for a fool than for a fiery-tempered person who says too much. You know, in the heat of anger, your mouth is doing way too much. It's on overflow. It needs to quit. It's on overtime. It needs to check out. Mm-hmm. Some of us cause the end of a very beautiful relationship we have with someone because too much was said, especially at the wrong time. Hmm? You know, I have noticed something from males that they now refer to past persons that they have dated or been engaged with as a female. They don't mention names. Wonder why they developed that right there. You see, it's important not to let the wrong name slip out your mouth. A smooth talker relies on their speech to flatter. That's right. And some people like smooth talkers. But you should beware of that smoothness. You should take it before the Lord. Amen? It's the truth. Why? Because they do that, they flatter with their speech in order to mislead and to overcome the naive listener. The listener that either doesn't know any better or doesn't care or is careless. You see? The gift of speech is to be used to glorify God and not to repeat, express, or release an atmosphere of unrighteousness. Because the words we say affect the atmosphere around us and around others. It does. We will all be held in account before the Lord, and some will receive the greater damnation. Yes, it's so. Your mouth can actually get you into a world of trouble. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, for when they speak, beginning with verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, you've heard this before, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. You see, they use these great, swelling, empty words that really don't mean very much at all, and they attempt to allure and entice and seduce through the lust of the flesh. That's where they're aiming. Mm-hmm. And there are some who, they had already escaped that type of error. Well, they're trying to pull these people back into it. Yes, they are. They came to entice and to seduce, you see. So we need to know that there are persons who often glorify the lust of the flesh in speech that is morally unrestrained. And in what they call music these days, this seems to be the order of the day. You can call people names that some people hadn't heard until they were adults. You can call women any kind of thing. You can say anything about anyone. You can discuss body parts and bodily functions and things that should only be mentioned in serious privacy, all and just blurt it and spew it all out over the whole world because, of course, your music, as they call it, is louder than anything else that's going on at the gas station. Amen. And some of it is extremely offensive. In fact, from time to time, I have asked the owner or driver of the vehicle, how would they feel if someone said that about their mother or their sister? Some of it is extremely derogatory and downright unclean. So you see, people understand when they're doing things like that. They know because these things release iniquity, they defile the hearers, and they set on fire the course of nature. They set on fire the course of nature. And the tongues that do this are unruly in their wicked speech. They are lawless, and they're full of venom and poison. Sometimes you go to the store, and they have that loud music playing on the loudspeaker, or whatever they call it nowadays. And by the time you get to the car, that thing is still playing in your head. You don't like it. You don't want it. But here it comes. You have to cast that spirit out. You have to bind him and cast him out in Jesus' name. But that's not what you want. You're not of that spirit. You come away from that world. You're not of the children of disobedience. You reverence the Lord. You fear him. So we have to be careful, you see. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. But now ye also put off all these, not a few of these, all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. That's it, blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Did you know that exaggeration is a form of lying? It is. Seeing that you have put off the old man and his deed. You know, you got baptized. You left all that in the watery grave and you came up. Well, you're not supposed to bring that with you. You're supposed to leave it there. Amen? And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's right. Filthy words, foul language, off-color jokes, improper expressions of bodily functions, poking fun at another's weakness or pain. These display the old man. Mm-hmm. Not the new man in Christ Jesus. You see, in Ephesians chapter 4, correction, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, neither filthiness, foolish talking, you know what that is, nor jesting, which are not convenient, they're not appropriate or fitting or proper. They're not righteousness, but rather the giving of thanks. You see, the Lord wants to bless our lives. And part of, well, you know, we've talked before about the right confession, about what comes out of our mouths. Well, we got to get it cleaned up, you see. And some of us are in the process. We're working on it. Amen. We're working on it. But we have to go further. We can't get started and just stop. And then, okay, we've gotten rid of the words that were just so bad that you just cover your own ears when you hear it coming out of your mouth. We're down to just maybe two words left now from the old life. Well, we have to keep working until those two are gone. Amen? Amen. We have to go to completion with this. In James, the Lord reminds us in chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Why? Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Because we're all angry does not mean that that produces God's righteousness in a situation. Amen? Amen. It's the truth. It is the truth indeed. So, we ask, what happens when you drop something heavy on your bare feet? Something really heavy. What comes out of your mouth? You know, because if you drop it on your feet, it's going to hurt. What happens? What do you say when that happens? In warfare situations, do you tip your hand to the enemy by failing to keep silent under pressure? Do you give your position or what you're going to do or anything away to the enemy by not keeping it to yourself under pressure? Do you do that? Well, in Mark chapter 15, beginning with verse 1, the Lord Jesus gives us an example of what we are to do. Verse 1, and straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said unto them, thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things. But he answered nothing. When he was accused of many things, he answered nothing. He didn't attempt to defend himself. He answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witnessed against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing. So that Pilate marveled. How many of us can do that? We need to think about it, and we need to pray about it. In Acts, in the book of Acts, in chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 32, verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He, speaking of Jesus, was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. So opened he not his mouth. Jesus had control over his mouth under pressure. We need to grow. Yes, we do. We need to grow. Do you open doors to the enemy with your words? Well, then get busy and close those doors. Do we attack with our words and criticisms privately those who would stand with us in prayer agreement? Are those that we are close to? Do we attack with our words and criticisms privately those persons? Well, in James chapter 4, verse 11, the Lord says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother judgeth his brother, and speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is but one righteous judge." Psalm 15, beginning with verse 1. "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart." And speaketh the truth in his heart. "He that backbiteth not with his tongue." He doesn't answer again. He doesn't talk about you behind your back and say ugly things. "Nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach or an insult against his neighbor." There. That's who shall abide in his tabernacle. That's who shall dwell in his holy hill. People that don't do those things. That's what he said. So it would behoove us to line up with the scripture. Amen? I believe so. You know? In Romans chapter 14, verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother?" Why do you see the situation, formulate your own opinion without going to the Lord? And then you're going to ignore your brother or push him aside or reject him. Why? "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Nobody's going to get out of that for sure. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 7, Jesus said, after they had brought the woman found in adultery, okay, so if she's in adultery, there's at least two of them. And so they only brought the woman. So we take it that they were hypocrites to begin with. So remember he was down there writing? And they were asking him questions. Let's go there for a moment. Sometimes we need to look at it. John chapter 8. Starting with verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Well, if she's in the very act, she's in the very act with somebody else. So where is the other one? There is no such thing as somebody committing adultery by themselves. They're the only one there. It just doesn't work that way. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said to him, that they might have to accuse him. You see, their motive wasn't right to begin with. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast. When we judge our brethren, as they obviously judge this lady, but they had sinned themselves, and more than likely, some of them were adulterers too. So he challenged them, well, since you're so sinless, you cast the first stone at her. You see, we should walk in right judgment, not our own inflated opinion. Amen. You know, when we pray every time we come up on the air, we repent of the pride and foolishness of our own opinion. Why? Because quite often we're wrong. That's why. Amen. We can be wrong. We're human. Humans err. So, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, not ye which are carnal, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also be tempted. You know, you're not above it. Don't come down so hard. You failed too. Amen? We all have. That's why we needed a Savior. That's why we still need a Savior. There are no perfect people on this planet. No, not one. And that is the truth. In John chapter 7, verse 24. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 24. Judge not according to the appearance. I don't know how loud I can say this, but it's so important. Judge not according to the appearance. but judge righteous judgment. Some time ago, I'm about to tell on myself. I became more closely acquainted with someone that I've known for decades. And from what I've gathered over the years, this person, according to me, had a certain integrity, I believe. But once I had the opportunity to talk with them extensively over a continuous period of time, I discovered that the character that I thought they had, they didn't have at all. I was so shocked. I was just taken aback by it. And I had to go to the Lord and I said, Lord, this was just a case of mistaken identity. I thought the person was like such and such and such. Because I knew their family background. I was acquainted with their parents and pretty much how they were raised. And so I assumed that over the years they continued with their good home training. However, people do change. And so I had to go to the Lord and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please show me the truth so that I can see what you see and believe the truth and not be deceived. So you see, saints, it can happen to anybody. But when you discover that you have made a mistake or an error in judgment, go to the Lord and ask for his help. Amen? Because we don't know everything. We don't. We just think that we know something. We must remember, saints, that a wholesome tongue, tree of life, not a sprig of life, a tree of life, but perverseness therein, confusion therein, lawlessness therein, foolishness therein, ungodliness therein is a breach in the spirit, an open door to the devil. That's what that says. That's an open door to the enemy. So, in Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 9, it says, hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Proverbs 12, verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Amen? Amen. So God is listening to our speech, and so is the enemy. We must choose to keep the door closed on the works of the flesh and the devil. Amen? Amen. So the Lord is telling us to guard our tongues, keep our tongues. Be careful what we let roll out of our mouths. The enemy is listening, and he's going to surely use something that we say that is out of the way. Amen? Amen. So when we go to the Lord, this is going to be one of the things we bring before him. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, we're growing. God is blessing us. We're growing. Amen? Amen. Brother Bill.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Sabrina. Praise the Lord. You know, every day after I put my armor on, I forbid any unwholesome word to come out of my mouth. And when you do that, it's so much easier. And having to listen to people, I bind every devil and every person I'm going to encounter that day and gag those devils' mouths with the blood of Jesus. Now I don't have to listen to contractors cuss me out when I tell them they've done something wrong. It's so much nicer, so much pleasant, so much easier. Thank you, Jesus. You give us that power. And faith, I have my most favorite praise report. When I read this praise report today, I had tears coming to my eyes. You got to hear this. It's amazing. My son, TJ, is only 9 years old, had an experience Holy Ghost deliverance while taking a shower after Wednesday night service. He requested if he could listen to some worship songs. So at his request, I played a selection of the Blood Washed Jesus song. Several minutes later, he began singing the songs and started sobbing, calling out to Jesus, and he repented. And he said the Lord's voice, he heard the Lord's voice telling him to leave those video games alone. After that, he began to pray in tongues and shouting several times, "I'm free and Jesus is real." My son TJ said now he doesn't have any desire to play those video games that had such a hold on him. Afterward, I began to read some scriptures to him to help confirm his deliverance. You know, to see my son like this brought tears to my eyes. Well, thank you, Jesus. God is good. It brought tears to my eyes too, saints. This is awesome. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And you know what, saints? Jesus will help you get rid of anything you need. And we just praise you for that, Lord Jesus. We praise you. Praise you. Isn't that awesome?
Wait a minute. Hold on. I got a question. You mean he got delivered from video games?
Yes, ma'am. In the shower.
In the shower? From playing video games and using his thumbs all day long? All day long?
Yes.
He got delivered.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Ma'am.
Yes,
hallelujah. He got delivered from that control. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you. You know, when my son came to stay with me, it's awesome. Those video games will get a hold of you. Praise you, Lord Jesus, for TJ. Praise you, Lord. 9 years old. Thank you, Lord, for that. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Wow. Wow. Wow, that's all I can say. Sister Nicole says on April 5th, I woke up on my birthday almost throwing up. I couldn't move about without vomiting. I stood on the Word of God by 3 p.m. All that mess was gone, and two friends came over and came. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See, saints, sometimes you have to keep fighting and not give up. Amy has a praise report. My son finally reached out to me. He got a new phone number and finally texted me to let me know. Praise God. Thank you, saints, for your prayers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then Sister Nicole says, oh, yes, I have a great testimony. Was praying that my daughter would contact me for my birthday, and she did. She's not been speaking to me, and she actually called on a video chat. Praise you for that. Lord Jesus, we praise you for that. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Sharon says, I went 3 days ago to visit my granddaughters, and they were sick. There were four adults and two children that were sick. But I forbid any of that stuff to attach to me, and you know what? I still haven't caught it. Praise you, Lord, for that. Praise you, Lord. Sharon has a testimony. 2 nights ago, you're going to love this, kids. My son's bike was unexpectedly borrowed by Josh, a neighbor. My son was angry and rage and all, just going nuts over that. This reminds me of my daughter 9 years ago. She had an anger and rage fit and bitterness when my son unexpectedly borrowed her truck for 2 months. I was a witness. You reap what you sow. I am proud of my daughter for she forgave her brother. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for that. Praise you, Lord. Be careful what you do to others. It'll come back on you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Dina has a praise report. Oh, thankful for the talk live on the chat on breaking and rooting up and destroying and breaking evil off of our life. and removing pain and weakness out of my right arm. Thank you, Lord, for the deliverance, Gabe Dina. We praise you for that. MM has a praise report. After approximately 2 years and about 5 months ago, I am amazed and truly thankful for this ministry. For years, my late spouse and I felt a sense of being locked out of the Word of God when it came to going to church and listening to the Word of God. We always knew there was much more to God, but we attempted to do Bible studies on our own. We had been aware of conspiracies, however, did not know exactly why I was bound, determined to leave God no matter what. Determined never to leave God no matter what, how dry I felt. When my husband was passing, I came across this ministry online as I asked the Lord. I was too worn out and fear swayed me from entering sight. So glad I am here now. I thank you, God. This is the pure, uncompromised Word of God. Praise the Lord. Dina has a praise report. I have a lot of dreams that did warfare in two recent dreams. First, a car was coming towards me on the side of a car fast in the dream, and I said, Jesus, 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 and the car disappeared. Second, a demon posing as a co-worker offered me a banana pudding, and I refused. Still did the dream protocol when I woke up, and praise God, I am waiting for the day. I only get dreams from the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And Lena says, last Wednesday, the sermon touched my heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You led me to forgive others. And thank you, Lord, for that. Praise you, Lord. Just praise you, Lord. That sermon really touched me, and it helped me. LM has a praise report. I was almost in a car accident. A woman swerved over to and started cussing at me and all that. And I just said, I love you too. And she seemed very disappointed. And always pray before you get in your car. You'll be fine. We praise you for that, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord, that you protected her. And Ciro Doria says, one of the services a while ago, Pastor Sabrina was praying and she mentioned ringing in the ears, and I cried, let it be me the day I receive it. And thanks, I haven't had any ringing in the ears. Praise you for that. These saints, you have to reach out. You have to receive it. You have to ask for it. You have to declare it. And you know what? It's right there for you. How many of us just pass by so many blessings because we don't even try? We don't even reach out. Thank you for that, Lord. Praise you for that wonderful saint. And Deborah has a praise report. The Lord has blessed me with two financial blessings. I was having trouble struggling to pay bills, and then after that prayer meeting that Pastor Sabrina had, now I'll be able to pay them off. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And we just give you all the praise, all the glory. And saints, just whenever it's time today, when we were driving in the car the other day, I would say, Lord, hold that light for me. Hold that light. And my wife said, oh, no, it won't. I said, no, let's just whip out our faith. Let's just think about it in faith. And you know what? The Lord would hold the light. That's all you got to do, saints, is just exercise your faith and just believe. And you'll be shocked what Jesus will do for you. And we just give you all the praise, all the glory. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for TJ receiving the Holy Ghost. And we praise you, Lord Jesus, for that. We just praise you. Praise you. And now back to you, Pastor Sabrina. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Jesus is real. Yes, he is. He's real. He's not imaginary. He's not historic. He's real. He's alive. He's the living Word of God. Amen. I keep telling people it's not just words on a page in this Bible. It's his word to all of us. And we have to take it seriously. Amen? Amen. We have to take it seriously. And so we ask the Lord to help us in everything because we need his help. Praise the Lord. We need his help. Amen. We need his help. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you're doing. We want to thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of Lights. We want to thank you for the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you for touching everyone and for answering every prayer request. We want to thank you for grace. We want to thank you for peace. We want to thank you for joy. And we want to thank you for the power to hold our tongue, to keep our tongue. Amen? We thank you for the power to keep our tongue. Father, we thank you that there is a time that you call us to release our faith. Why? Because you want to heal us. And our unbelief blocks our healing. When the woman had the issue of blood, she did what many others have learned to do. She placed her faith in you. And she called on your power to heal her. You see, her faith, Lord, drew your power to herself. You always ministered with the truth and your power. And you told us in Luke chapter 4 that you had power to do these things. So, Lord, when people heard that you had the power of Almighty God, it became our responsibility to believe you and to receive that grace. It became our responsibility to believe you and then to receive of the grace. People that did not choose to believe could not draw your grace toward them in that manner. You see, we must believe and then receive. We must believe and then receive. Even in your hometown of Nazareth, you couldn't do a whole lot of mighty works because they had such unbelief. They were busy judging you, Lord. They looked at you as Mary and Joseph's son, someone they grew up with. They could not accept nor receive that you were the Messiah, the Son of the living God. If they would have believed you, Lord, they would have received many healings in their bodies and in their lives. But as we were talking about the woman from Mark 5, who chose to place her faith, her confidence, and her trust soundly in you. She'd been to many doctors over the years trying to be healed, and she was none the better but worse. She chose, after she heard of you, to put all of her faith, all of her confidence, and all of her trust in you. She believed you so much so that she began to act. And in acting, she pressed through the crowd. And she pressed to the point, though she was weak, that she was able to touch the hem of your garment. You see, Lord, you acknowledged it when you said, someone touched me. And that you could perceive that power had gone from you and flowed to another vessel. so, Lord. That lady literally came in contact with your power through touching you. She believed to the point that when she touched you, her faith was fully released and she fully received. Many of us have doubt in our minds and in our hearts that keep us from being healed when healing is released. Many of us wonder if you'll do it for us. Well, you see, Lord, the Bible says you're no respect of person. You will do it for anyone. Anyone who chooses to have active faith and believe you. Some of us have an issue. We tend to be passive. We want to sit back and just wait for it to happen. But no, faith is active. Faith says, I am healed. No matter what I see in the mirror, I'm already healed. Why? Because Jesus took the execution of my healing on the cross. By his stripes, I have been healed. So since I have been healed and his power has been released to me to receive it, I'm going to open up my heart, my spirit, my mind, and I'm going to believe that I've been healed by those very stripes. I'm going to give him all of my confidence, all of my trust, and I'm not going to look and say, oh, in 2 seconds, this needs to change. No, I am so convinced that I'm going to go on with what I'm doing, praising the Lord. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. You see, Lord, I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm not like I was last week. I'm coming to the place, Lord, where I'm believing you to heal me. I'm believing that you healed me. I'm believing that I am healed. Now, there's somebody that needs to recast that part of the broadcast because you need to place that in your heart. You see, in America, there are people who don't receive miracles. Why? Because they are hampered by their over-dependence on the medical community. We believe in America, I can't talk about other places too much, but I can talk about America because I live here. We have too much dependence sometimes on the medical community and not enough dependence on the Lord. He says, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Well, he meant that. He meant that we're supposed to look to him first and foremost to be healed, whether it's in our body, in our spirit, in our soul, in our emotions, in our mind, in our finances, wherever. We're to look to him first and foremost to receive healing. And we are to trust and believe him for that. And we're to stay in continual belief, continual trust, continual confidence in him. No wonder the woman that received her healing from him got it. She had a made-up mind. Amen? She had a made-up mind. She believed within herself, the moment I touch him, I'll receive. So she did everything she could to touch him. Well, you say, well, Jesus was walking the earth then. Well, Jesus lives in you now. She had to go to where he was. He's already with you and in you. Amen? so we can be healed right where we are. Jesus has plenty of power. He has enough power to heal everyone. Amen? It says in Luke chapter 5 that Jesus was in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem during a period of time, and that the power of the Lord was present to heal those people. So, saints, if you need a healing, you need to get in the Word through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, even Acts. There are occasions of healings taking place. You need to place those scriptures in your heart, so much so till they're just bubbling up out of you all the time. It'll increase your faith. It'll be easier to believe that you have been healed already. Amen? Because by the stripes of Jesus, you have been healed. He already took the stripes. He's back home now. Amen? You might need a healing in your mind. Many people coming out of witchcraft need healings in their mind. They need the Lord to, so to speak, put their minds back together. Jesus does that. He does that. Amen? He does that. I know for a fact that he does that. I had had several physical injuries and concussions. And I needed him to heal my brain and heal my mind. And he did. So, you say, my mind feels like this, like somebody took a deck of cards and threw them up in the air. I know what that feels like. But I also know what it feels like to be healed. That your thoughts are now ordered, that you can keep certain things in your mind, and that you can recall them when you need to. Jesus heals minds. He heals brain. He heals body. He heals emotion. He heals spirit. So, if you need a healing, while we're on this upcoming fast that begins Sunday night, press into the Lord and believe him for your healing. Really give it your all this time. You know, you've like, okay, Lord, I believe you. No. Press in. Press in. Just like this woman, press to get to Jesus. Press in with your faith, saint. Press in with your faith. And you will see a dramatic difference. I want to challenge everyone to do this during the fast. Wherever you need the Lord to heal you, be it your finances, be it in relationships, regardless, wherever it may be, he promises to heal you now. And our God cannot lie. He is faithful and true. Press in with your faith and receive your healing. Amen? Amen. Amen. I hope that that encouraged you. I hope that you will do it. Amen? I know that you have chosen life. You've chosen to be blessed, and that you're walking in faith. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're going to go to our guest call-in, and we're going to area code 209. Area code 2097. You're on the air in Jesus' name.
Hi, it's Sherry. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, Sabrina.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, thank you for the sermon. I wasn't able to join you guys on Wednesday, so I listened to that sermon yesterday. That was awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. What can we do for you, Sherry?
Oh, just a few.
Tell us about it.
It just feels like I get caged. That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, come on, church, let's pray. We pray one for another. Amen? From our position, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we break the cage in Jesus' name, and we set the captive free in the name of Jesus Christ. We command every part of the cage to be torn apart. Father, release your warring angels to remove that cage that they placed our sister in Jesus' name. She's not a wild animal. There's no reason for her to be caged. And we thank you, Lord, for taking that cage and doing with it what really ought to be done. We take authority, dominion, and power over every spirit that has bound her in the name of Jesus Christ. And we command those chains to fall off of her. We break every chain, every link in every chain in the name of Jesus. We declare that she is free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We unwrap all grave clothes, all wrappings that are on her. We command you to fall off of her now in the name of Jesus. Every place that she is bound, we break the binding and we loose her in the name of Jesus Christ. Cough that out, Sherry. Cough that out. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Every place where she is bound, we loose her in the name of Jesus Christ. Woman, thou art loosed in Jesus' name. Come out of it. Come on out in Jesus' name. You're loose. We set you free from everything that the enemy has done to contain you. We strip it from you now in Jesus' name. We strip it from you now in Jesus' name. We strip it from you now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we release to you the liberty that comes in the name of Jesus. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We break the bondages. The bondages in your mind. Keep coughing. We tear down the walls in Jesus' name. We tear down the walls. We speak to the mountains and command them to move in Jesus' name. We tear down every wall, every hindrance, every blockage in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you're setting the captive free now in the name of Jesus. You're setting the captive free right now. Cough that out in Jesus' name. You're bound. Come out of her mind. Come out of her thoughts. Come out of her emotions. Come out of her imagination. Come out of her soul. Every form of electromagnetic warfare, we bind you in Jesus' name. We raise the shield of faith and quench those fiery darts of the wicked. We pull out every voodoo pin. Every fiery dart. Come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Every weapon that's been formed against her, we boomerang it back where it came from in the name of Jesus according to the covenant. Tearing down strongholds. We bind the strong man. Trying to fence her in. Be healed in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. And every tongue that has risen against you in judgment, we condemn it right now in Jesus' name. Cast that out. Cast that out in the name of Jesus. Cough it out in the name of Jesus. Come up and out of her. We break all that bondage up in the name of Jesus. Come out of her. You have no right to choke her. We bind the fear and intimidation in Jesus' name. We bind the expectation of hurt, pain, or suffering in the name of Jesus Christ. We command it to leave her now. Come out of her. All the tormentors, you must leave in Jesus' name. Everything that has pulled her back, we bind you. We bind the destroyer, the Antichrist destroyer, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind Satan's army in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind witchcraft, wizards, witches, messengers of Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every work of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. We bind all of Satan's kingdom in the name of Jesus. We bind demons. We bind demonic works. We bind every ungodly thing in Jesus' name. We bind past abuse in the name of Jesus. All of that past abuse, we command you to come up and out of her now. Go into the cage in Jesus' name. All of that past abuse, come out of her. Come out of her now. We uproot you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of her. All of that past abuse and hatred spewed against her. Come out. All of it. All of the words that were spoken. We break their grip and hold. We break their power. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All the words, all the syllables, all of the wicked spirits that rode on those words, come up and out in Jesus' name. All the reproach, all the rejection, you're bound in Jesus' name. Come up and out of her. All the verbal abuse, all the mental and emotional abuse, leading to physical abuse, you're bound in the name of Jesus. Come out of her soul. Come out of her soul. Come out of her soul. Lord, purge her soul of these things in Jesus' name. Come out of her. You have no right to be there. We bind you. We send you into the cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. All the impurity left over from the past life, we bind you all. Come out of her in the name of Jesus. Every defilement and impurity from the past life, you come out of her now. In the name of Jesus Christ. With the blood of Jesus, we erase the target that they have placed on her. All devil markings, we erase them with the blood of Jesus. Every devil marking, we erase it with the blood of Jesus. Every devil marking, we erase it with the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you call back the parts of her fragmented mind through the blood of Jesus placed in right order and right function in her mind in Jesus' name. All the hatred sent against her, we bind it in Jesus' name. Come out. all the damage that you've done, all the hurt that you've done, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And we loose the love of God found in Jesus Christ, our Lord, to our sister right now. We release the love of God. Hallelujah. We release the love of God. Take a deep breath right now. Receive ye the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Receive the love of God. Receive the love of God. Grief, come out in Jesus' name. You're bound in Jesus' name. Come on out. You can't stay there. You can't harbor. We release the love of God. The Bible says, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord himself will take me up. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now take a deep breath and release your prayer language. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're going to do fine. You just keep praising the Lord. You're going to do fine.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
No
Thank
fear.
You, Sabrina.
No nervousness. You're going to do fine.
Okay.
Lord,
okay.
We release overcoming victory and successful accomplishment to our sister in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. 301, you're on the air in Jesus' name.
Hello. Good night, Pastor.
Hello.
Good night. Good night. Let me go quickly so others can have a chance. I had a dream. Oh, this is weird. I had a dream with that sperm donor coming in to have sex with me in the dream. I did the dream protocol because in the dream, he came in and there were other women in the house. And I said, why don't you go to them? And he said, no. He wants me because I am profitable for business. I'm good for business. And I, in the dream, walked out of the room because in my mind, in the dream, I said, this is adultery and this is against, because it's as if in the dream I knew that I was married and it's wrong. And so I walked out of the room with that situation. However, my body's in a lot of pain, and in the same dream, I believe I saw his sister telling me, don't you see you are pregnant and you're not pregnant anymore? And it's as if in the dream you can know something without someone actually saying it, and you can know the person in the spiritual realm without them, you see in their faces, like you see the person and they look like someone else, but in the realms of the spirit, it seems like you can like somehow know that it's this person is this person. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying or if I can explain it properly, but I don't know what's going on or what attack, because she was showing me my stomach, and she was saying, don't you see that you don't have the baby anymore? Where's the baby? And I was crying in the dream.
All right, okay. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority, dominion, and power over that spirit that went under the waters, into the deep, to come and attempt to steal a child. So we bind the feet in Jesus' name. Lord, the Bible says the wickedness of the wicked goes back on their own pace. We close up that portal from the deep in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Father, to arrest this spirit in Jesus' name. Release your warring angels to arrest this spirit. We bind the tormenting, harassing, warring spirit that attack and destroy in Jesus' name. We command that spirit to experience the wrath and fire of God in Jesus' name. The harassment we find in the name of Jesus Christ. The wickedness, the vileness. We return the attack in Jesus' name. Wherever it came from, according to the covenant, we return the attack in Jesus' name. Be dried up in the name of Jesus Christ. Be dried up in the name of Jesus Christ. We dry you up. We dry you up in Jesus' name. Just as on Mount Carmel, we dry you up in Jesus' name. The fire of God came and licked up the water. You're a water devil. Risa, that you go under the deep, you change yourself into a water creature. Risa, that I break a lady or so that I break a lady, Rugosa that I break, Urusso that I break. But you are wicked and evil, and we bind you and chain you with eternal chains under darkness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Rabababa, Kusha. We close up all the portals that you use regularly in the name of Jesus. Risa, that I break a day. We cut her free from every ley line, every connection to you in the name of Jesus. Your wickedness comes back. Because Jesus says so. We take your power. We take your strength and we give it to Jesus Christ. We transfer it to Jesus Christ. All power belongs to God. Your evil suggestion, we bind in Jesus' name. Your evil suggestion, we bind in Jesus' name. The intent that you brought it for, we send back to you in the name of Jesus. We close up that wormhole. We close up that portal and we seal it forevermore in Jesus' name. Lord, spread your light on this spirit in Jesus' name. Rise de la breca, le leo sotto la breca, le leo sotto la breca, le leo sotto la breca. Rike si de la breca. Lord, we turn such a one over to the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's it. We turn such a one over to the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Rabba, baba, who say, Rise de la breca, we break the ripple in Jesus' name. Rise de la breca, baba, baba, we bind up their wicked work. In the name of Jesus Christ, every spirit, Ruka, going through the deep, through the waters, to come and attack any of the members of this ministry, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We send you into the cage. We chain you with eternal chains unto darkness, and we engulf you in the fire of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We engulf you completely in the fire of God in Jesus' name. Deep breath and call, and then release your prayer language in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
You know what to do? Stay under the word and the blood. Amen. Amen.
Yes, Father.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you. God bless you. Area code 706. You're on the air in Jesus' name. Area code 706. You're on the air in Jesus' name. Hello?
Hello, Pastor Sabrina?
Yes.
Hi. I would like to receive prayer to get my mind in line with Jesus and
okay.
to stop having my, it's like my mind just be wandering all over the place. It's like I'm always comparing myself, and I don't want to be comparing myself because I know that's wrong.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we place our sister's mind under the blood of Jesus. Under the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name. We place her mind under the blood of Jesus and in the hands of God the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Lord says to tell you it's a process in getting your mind healed. And he's healing your mind, but it's a slow process. He says to continue to cooperate with him and yield to him and spend time in the word. Amen? It's a process bringing the parts of your mind back together. And sometimes while he's working on your mind, it seems like your mind is scattered, but it's not scattered the regular way. He's working in your mind. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
He's actually
yes.
in your mind working. So what you need to do is you need to still yourself and just plead the blood while he's working in your mind. Plead the blood over your mind. Amen? While he's working.
Amen.
Sometimes it seems like you're disjunct. You can't quite get your thoughts together. But he's in there working. Amen?
Amen.
Father, in
Amen.
The name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for
yes,
giving
Lord.
Our sister the encouragement and the reassurance that she needs so that she
yes,
can
Jesus.
Trust you during the times when her mind is being reconstructed and it's being put back together according to your will, your purpose, and your order. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing the fragmented parts of her mind together and placing them in right order, right function, and fully healed in Jesus' name. We release the peace of God to you now in Jesus' name. Amen?
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Keep praying and telling
God bless
help.
You. Thank you, Pastor Sabrina.
You see, saints, I can remember when God would be healing my mind. It'd be like one day I would be my usual business-like, get-to-the-point self. And then, say, by the next week, it's like I'm trying to find some of my thoughts. And so the Lord had a very precious minister in the gospel that was close to me call me and explain to me what was happening to me. He was working inside my mind at the time. And so I learned that those days when I woke up feeling somewhat distracted that I needed to be still because he was working. You know, the Bible does say, be still and know that I'm God. I had to be still. I had to trust him. I had to do the same thing I'm telling the sister to do and allow him to do his work. I can remember when Pastor Pat was in the hospital after she broke her leg, and I was in the hospital with her. I stayed with her the whole time. And she said, I can feel him moving my bone. Before the surgeon had the time to do what he did, she could feel the Lord adjusting and lining her bones up so that when the surgeon came to do his part, it took far less time because the bone was already put back in order. It was adjusted just the right way. So when the surgery took place, it was over in record time. Why? Because the Lord had already adjusted and moved the bones into the proper place. So the same thing is true when the Lord is healing your mind. It's a process. You have to work with the Lord. And sometimes we don't do as well as we should because we don't understand that he's in the process of healing and restoring. Amen? So I pray that that helps somebody and that you understand that you have to be still and work along with the Lord. Amen? Amen. We all have to work with him. Even when he's healing our emotion, there will be days when you suddenly feel out of sorts and you think it's something wrong. No, he's making adjustments inside of you. Amen? Brother Marshall.
Praise the Lord. And I want to thank the Lord for you, Dr. Sabrina. The comment you made at the beginning was wonderful and something I needed to hear. I was feeling out of sorts, and I had forgotten about the spirits that can come home from even with family members. So thank you. It's very, very timely. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're teaching all of your children, and I thank you for that, and I thank you for the spirit of adoption, Father. Thank you, Father, you're not giving us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. We come before your throne of grace. Even as that Syrophoenician woman came, she fell down before you, and she said, Lord, help me. She needed help for her family, for her daughter, those that were close to her. We all need your help, Lord, because apart from you, Jesus said in John 15, we can do nothing. Boy, is that the truth. So we come before the throne of grace with our big brother Jesus. And just like you said, put you in remembrance. Let us plead together in, what is that, Isaiah 43:26. So we're putting you in remembrance. We're pleading together with our big brother Jesus, Father. Just say, thank you, Father. We don't want to spend much time looking at the problems. We look at the solution. You told us over and over again, and I'm only beginning to catch on to it recently, Lord. You said, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. He's the one who authored the faith. He's the one who decided he's going to follow the Father's admonition and directions and hang on that tree. If it be possible, take this cup from me. But he decided to take the cup in our place. He took that cup of cursing. Thank you, Jesus, for hanging on that tree. Thank you, Lord. You said in your word, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Father, we don't take that lightly. We come boldly before your throne of grace to say, help us, Father. Help us, Father. Help us, Father. Even as you're showing me just recently, Father, in Jesus' name. And I've been doing this for some time, but I didn't realize it's in your book. It's in your book, but I was just doing what was in the book, but I didn't put it together until perhaps today. Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? Well, yet God can use people to help us, but we look to you, Jesus. Your arm's not too short to redeem. Your hand's not too short to save. We thank you, Lord. Psalm 123, verse 1, unto thee will I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Yes, maybe some human being will also be used of the Lord to help us. And then what did you do? How did you teach Joshua, when they were heading into the promised land, it came in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, and it came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes. We lift up our eyes to you, Lord. We turn our eyes away from all their enemies everywhere. What are we going to do? We turn our eyes to you. We lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he answered, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, just like the Syrophoenician woman. She fell down on her face and worshipped him. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto a servant? We are your servants, Lord. We cast all of our cares on you because you care for us. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. We thank you, Lord. We let go of this earth that we tread upon. It belongs to you, Lord. It all belongs to you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of, just like you said in Psalm 24. And you remind us in 2 Chronicles 29:11, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. You're the King, Lord Jesus. You're the Lord of hosts. You indeed are the Lord of hosts. And you showed me today, just today, Lord. Thank you for reminding me this. I have forgotten about this, Lord. And you said in Hebrews chapter 2, you talked about man. What is man? That made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. Hebrews chapter 2, I'm reading verse 7. Crowned him with glory and honor. Just set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast also put all things under the subjection of his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But, verse 9, Hebrews 2, 9, but we see Jesus. His eyes are red with wine. He's looking at each of us. He knows what we're all thinking. He knows how many dust bunnies are in my heart. He's changing me. Thank you for changing me, Lord. Thank you for changing that 9-year-old. Thank you for awesome testimony. Thank you for giving us all hunger and thirst for righteousness, Lord. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. You tasted death for us, Lord. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus, you're my captain. You're our captain. You're the Lord of hosts. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. And where is he? He's in us. We thank you for the privilege of drinking into one spirit with you, Lord. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The battle is not ours, but yours, Lord. And you reminded me today, that's wonderful when another saint gets the same revelation that the Lord gave you. Isn't that wonderful? He confirms that. It's just awesome. It's just awesome. It was and the Lord reminded me, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9, you said in your word, Lord, if when evil cometh upon us is the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, parentheses, for thy name is in this house. 2 Chronicles, Old Testament, 20, verse 9. For thy name is in this house. Dr. Sabrina is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Brother Bill is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The global prayer wars have received Jesus. Temples of the Holy Spirit. By the grace of God, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. And cry unto thee in our affliction, and thou wilt hear and help. We thank you for hearing and helping, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come with that book. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Verse 15. Thank you, Lord. Why is that? Verse 12. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. We're not looking at the problems. We're looking at the solution. We're looking to Jesus. We're looking to Jesus. And when he consulted with the people in verse 21, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, Who's the captain of the army? Jesus, he's our captain. And said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Your mercy endureth forever. Father, we ask for your divine intervention and adjudication in Jesus' name. From our position, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Satan, you're already bound in Jesus' name. We command to be no further full power communication from the demons of second heavens on earth and deep to all that we've interceded for, will intercede for, not only all the residents, especially the members of the body of Christ in Florida and Texas, but all the places where there are at least two believers in Jesus in every area and every municipality in every country, particularly in the United States of America. We bind every ungodly spirit seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. I bind every mind-blinding spirit, every spirit of ungodly fear, every spirit of carrying grudges, every spirit of pride, every spirit of idolatry. All ungodly spirits are bound. Every spirit of ungodly fear. Woo! Every spirit of ungodly fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. In Jesus' name, cut off Satan, you're bound. In Jesus' name, every lying spirit is bound. Every spirit of ungodly mind control is bound. You, Satan, the mind blinder, are bound. You, the strong man, are bound in Jesus' name because of the blood of the covenant. Even as it is written, not only in Matthew, in Jesus' name, where it is written. Jesus says, red letters, his name's written in blood. Thank you for your word, Lord. Verily I say unto you, saints, whatsoever, I'm added the word saints, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, and he can't lie, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And that's the name above all names, the name above Satan. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Jesus' name. There's only one true creator of God. Even as it is written in Isaiah chapter 45, beginning at verse 21. The last half of verse 21, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth, righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee, including Satan's knee, every knee, every demon's knee, every knee must bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. Satan, you thought you could exalt your throne above the Most High. Every deceiving spirit is bound. Every spirit of haughtiness, pride, and presumption are bound. All spirits of rebellion are bound. Every spirit of rebellion, every spirit of proud wrath, all ungodly spirits are bound. We cancel your assignment to steal, kill, and destroy, particularly those sent through bioweapons against the residents of Florida and Texas and other locations. We couldn't submit ourselves to God. We resist the devil in Jesus' mighty name, and you must flee from us in absolute terror. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And every one of your underlings are bound, named and not named, in Jesus' name. And it's written in Psalm 65, verse 7. The Lord, get the hint, Satan, if you're foul spirit, all bound and gagged, only go where Jesus tells you to go, bound and gagged, and all your underlings are bound, Beelzebub, every one of your foul spirits, all marine spirits bound, every ungodly spirit, Leviathan, Kundalini, all heads and tails cut off, in Jesus' name, we cancel your assignments to all that's coming against the members of the body of Christ, and every witchcraft curse, and against each and every one of us, returned at least sevenfold on the heads of the spirits of sin, do those spirits, and then do thus, in Jesus' name, we continue to speak blindness to the eyes of the enemy, muteness to the mouth of the enemy, and they may only hear what Jesus wants them to hear, pertaining to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, for thou shalt decree a thing, shall be established unto thee. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as joined heirs with Christ, according to Romans chapter 8, and according to Job chapter 22, 28. For thou shalt decree a thing, shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. And it is written in Psalm 65, 7, the Lord, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the people. We speak shalom to the weather and the atmosphere, not just to Florida and Texas, but all the United States of America. Shalom. At the southern border, we speak peace. You made peace by the blood of your cross. We thank you for your being put at your glory for defense, Father. Thank you for keeping us by the power of your name. We speak peace And we speak peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We speak peace to the residents of Texas and Florida, but it's all the nations, all the states, all the commonwealths, in Jesus' name, because we're members of the body of Christ and joint heirs, and we speak peace. And we thank you, Lord, for being a wall of fire around about and the glory in us. We give you praise and honor and glory that he began a good work in each one of us, is carried it on to completion. Father, we ask you to arrest those that need to be arrested, Father God, even in the natural, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for doing so in Jesus' name, particularly those coming against the southern border, Father God, in Jesus' name, and all those working in the spiritual realm. Arrest those that need to be arrested, Father, in Jesus' name. Particularly bind every spirit behind witches, wizards, warlocks, particularly those attacking the children, in Jesus' name. Every ungodly spirit seeking to kill, steal, and or destroy. Every spirit of perversion, every spirit of sexual perversion, every spirit of hatred against human beings created in the image of the living God is bound in Jesus' name. Every spirit of pride, presumption, idolatry, and mind-blinding spirit is bound in Jesus' name. Satan, all your underlings are perpetually bound in Jesus' name. And all those trying to work evil in the physical and in the spiritual, coming against any and every member of the body of Christ, and those coming to the body of Christ, their demonic assignments are canceled. It says in Psalm 35, which is the first psalm for this time in Jesus' name, it is written in Psalm 35, beginning at verse 4, let them, those that are railing against the members of the body of Christ and those coming into the body of Christ and the children, let them be confounded and put to shame, Psalm 35, 4, that seek after any one of our souls, let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise any one of our hearts, my heart, any one of our hearts. Let them be as chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me and for the members of the body of Christ and the children the net in the pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him as unawares. Let his net, which he had catch himself into that very destruction, let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Amen and amen and amen. I give you praise and honor and glory for doing so, Lord, in Jesus' name. And even as you did, for those that tried to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the burning fiery furnace because they refused to bow down and worship an idol. And we thank you, Lord, that you deliver them. You deliver them very, very powerfully. But what happened to those mightiest men in Nebuchadnezzar's army? In verse 22 of Daniel chapter 3, it says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, and the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And verse 25, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. In verse 25 of Daniel chapter 3, we thank you that the Son of God is for us. He's not against us. He's for us, and he has all power in heaven and earth. We give you praise and honor and glory for delivering us from witches, wizards, and those that are doing illegal smuggling of children and other things across the southern border, in Jesus' name. We thank you for uncovering things that need to be uncovered in your way, Father, in Jesus' name. And we pray for those that can be saved, that you save the souls that can be saved, Father, in Jesus' name. And you told us in Matthew 10, verse 26, fear them not, therefore, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Thank you, Father, for uncovering what needs to be uncovered in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for bringing to the understanding to the people in this nation, Father God, that there are people who are supposedly elected, Father God, who are not going through the normal process of having the judiciary come up with the laws. The executive branch is not meant to rule as a dictator and just say, oh, we're going to overturn part of the Constitution. We're going to just get rid of the Second Amendment rights in Jesus' name. That is flagrant rebellion against the true God who set up this nation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that rebellion is going to be judged in Jesus' name. Just like when Haman tried to get rid of all the Jews, he built a gallows to get rid of them. And where did he end up going? He went to the gallows himself. So we know that those that are trying to do things that are contrary to your will, Lord, you're going to expose it and you're going to overturn it and you're going to save us. And we thank you for what you have done, are doing, and going to do in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Father God. I know that you pointed out when the disciples came to Jesus and he was in the garden getting ready to face his great challenge in Jesus' name, and they didn't know what he said. If you have two garments, go get yourself some swords or whatever. Get yourself a sword. And what did they do? They did. They got swords, and they said there were two swords, and two is that's the name, the number of lack in the Bible. Two penny worth of bread means there's not enough. But guess what? So that's our legal right, because Jesus told them to get some swords, but two was adequate. That's all we needed. And we thank you, Lord. Two is enough, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the point down the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If the members of the body of Christ, we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 10, around verse 5, in Jesus' name. But Father, we do ask you to overturn this flagrant rebellion against this nation, Father God, and the founders of this nation in Jesus' name, and bring it into judgment. Ask for your proper intervention and adjudication in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for delivering us from every attack and wall of the enemy. If the enemy tries to come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. We thank you for the standard of your cross, your extraordinary grace, that you hung on that tree for each and every one of us. And we thank you, if God be for us, who can be against us? So whatever waves of witchcraft trying to sweep this nation, all those spirits of ungodly control are canceled and nullified and of none effect to each and every one of us in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for doing so. We give you praise and honor and glory for overturning what the enemy tried to do in Jesus' name. Even in Luke chapter 10, Jesus says that the 70 returned. He sent out not just the 12 disciples, he sent the 70 out, and they returned again with joy, saying in Luke 10:17, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That's the name above all names, the name of names, the name above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So we're not surprised about that. Behold, I give unto you power, verse 19, Luke 10:19, power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We rejoice, Lord, that our names are written in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for strengthening the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for Christ in us, the hope of glory.
How you loved me so much that you died.
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint in Jesus' name. And you said in the last verse of Psalm 29, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with
Thank you. my children an exceeding great reward. Thank you for their supernatural shield. Thank you, Lord, for setting up a center. Now, Lord, we'll bless the right. You have favored us all come with the shield. Thank you for favoring the shield. Set up a not just the people in Texas, the people everywhere in the United States. The supernatural protection. Give you praise, Lord.